And take your Bibles and turn them to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Say, preacher, the book of Jonah, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. It's in the Old Testament. If you found Micah and Nahum, you need to go back. The book of Jonah. Today is the last in the series of the Lordship. You say, finally, we're getting out of that ship. The Lordship, the last one that we'll be preaching from the Lordship. And we've studied a lot of different things about the Lordship. We talked about the problems in the Lordship. We found out that the problem is that many want him as Savior, but not as Lord. And then we found out the perplexity in the Lordship. We found out that there are those that think they are saved and in the Lordship, and they're not. And then we are looking at now the possibilities in the Lordship. The possibilities. So the problem first is that we want him as Savior, but not as Lord. Number two, the perplexity, some think they're in this ship, and they're really not. He said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Then the possibilities. You can respond willingly and voluntarily. Isaiah said, here am I, send me, amen. And then you can respond secondly, religiously and ignorantly. Peter said, not so, Lord, I have never, amen. And so today we're going to be talking about Jonah. Jonah responds disobediently and angrily. Have we ever been mad at the Lord? Amen, we have. Have we ever been disobedient with the Lord? Amen. So you have ridden in this ship before, amen. You have sailed in this ship. Jonah chapter number 1. And I'm going to read in verse number 1 and 2. And I want you to read with me together, starting in verse number 1. Here we go. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Amen. So the instructions are, hey, Jonah, I want you to go. I want you to cry. But notice Jonah in verse number 3. I'm going to read this one. Don't read along with me. Just want you to listen. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the who? The Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it. Notice he went down, down, down. To go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of who? The Lord. So obviously, if he's trying to get away from the presence of the Lord, he's being disobedient. So we're going to look at today, we can respond disobediently and angrily to the Lord. You say, I don't see any anger there. We ain't seen the whole ship. Amen. Once we see the end, you will see some things that you and I can probably relate to. Father, bless now in the morning's message. Help us, Lord, not to see Jonah, but help us to see ourselves. Lord, at times we've been disobedient for various reasons. Lord, at times we've been angry with you for various reasons. And in the same breath, we have called you Lord. Lord, that is just incredible to think that we could call you Lord and then be angry with you and be disobedient to you. And Lord, I pray that as we look at Jonah's life today, we might glean a blessing. We might see some principles and some practices that maybe we have done and ought to confess and get them right. Lord, that the remaining journey that we have in the Lordship may be one of a willingness and one of a voluntariness. Thank you so much for what you've done on the cross of Calvary, Lord, in dying for us. We want you, Lord, not just as Savior, but also as Lord of our lives. We know that you know what's best, and although sometimes we don't agree with it, Lord, help us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due time. Lord, help us to cast our cares upon you, for you care for us. And Lord, open our ears today, open our eyes today, that we might see the character traits in Jonah's life may resemble our life today. And if that is the case, Lord, help us to forsake it, to confess it, and continue abiding in the ship, the Lordship. I pray for that man, woman, boy, or girl today that is here without the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if they were to die, they're unsure they'd go to heaven. Lord, we don't want them to be perplexed in the Lordship and to think they are saved, but they're not. Help them, Lord, to recognize your death, your burial, and your resurrection was for them, for the remission of their sins, and they must confess their sins and confess you as Lord and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Lord, I do thank you again for those that are already in the Lordship. They are saved. Help us to have a smooth sail in the Lordship today. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Use me as your messenger today. As I deliver the message, anoint the ears of the hearers, anoint my mouth that I may speak, thus saith the Lord. And Lord, may our hearts be receptive to the word of God. But the last thing we want to do is run from the presence of Almighty God. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless down the children's area and those needs that need to be met. Meet them spiritually. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Miss Tony's got our special. You may be seated this morning.
My father has a great big family, and there were many children besides me. If you're wondering how he divides his time, just let me say I never stand. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He never favors me above the world, but I can't help but feel that I am blessed. He treats me best. Children feel that way. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. He really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child. He loves me like I was his only child. Never felt such love before. I could never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. God really loves me. Yes, he really loves me. He loves me like I was his only child.
Amen. God loves us like only one. Aren't you glad that God loves you the same as he loves everybody else? And you have all of his attention when you are with him and in his will. Amen. What a blessing that is. Thank you, Miss Antoinette. I appreciate that. Well, let me give you the definition of lordship before we get started so you have a point of reference we've been talking about. Again, lordship is over here on my right, and we're talking about abiding in the ship. As a child of God, this is something that you need to be aware of and to be conscious of, that if you have called on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he wants to be your Lord. Amen? And so lordship means this. The definition is the unlimited authority of a sovereign or ruler. That is lordship. It is the one who has the power or authority over something. And so God wants to have the rulership or the lordship over your life. By the way, he has it whether you give it to him or not. Amen. Let's just acknowledge that automatically. The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord whether you confess him as Lord or not. Amen. He is still the ruler. He is still sovereign. There's nothing you can do to shake that. He is the one that's in control. Amen. So you can't shake a puny fist at God and say, you're not my Lord, because one day he will have his way with you. By the way, if God wanted to, he could slap you upside the head just like that. Pow. Say, preacher, how can you do it? Knock a tree on your head. Amen. He could blow you over with just a gust of wind and you'd fall down. Amen. He could do that if he wanted to. Aren't you glad he doesn't do stuff like that? Amen. See you messing around and go bump you upside the head like we do sometimes with people. Amen. I'm glad God doesn't treat me that way. Amen. He loves me like I was his only child. Amen. I was reading something this morning that typifies lordship, and it was in Your Days of Praise. If you get the magazine here, these are very, very good devotionals to read. The one for today says this, and I thought it was fitting. The title Lord, when applied to Christ, is not merely a title of respect, but an acknowledgement of relationship. Notice that, of relationship. We belong to him just as bondservants, slaves belong to their owners. He owns us, having bought us or redeemed us with his blood, and the distinguishing seal of his purchase is that his servants are expected to depart from iniquity. It says, thus, whenever Lord is attached to his name, there is an implied confession of his lordship in that particular area of life. It says, for example, to be saved, one must confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, calling him Jesus as Lord. And we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting. Romans 10:9. Following that, we are commanded, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Even in the mundane affairs of life, he is our Lord. Submit yourselves, therefore, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Obedience to the lordship of Christ is, of course, absolutely essential for a truly Christian and happy family. How many of y'all want a happy family? Amen. Then we need to be obedient to the submission of Christ. Notice what he says here. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, even as the Lord died for the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. It goes on to say, and ye fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As our text reminds us, Christ's lordship implies holiness and full submission to him. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Talking about the lordship of Christ. If we want to be happy, if we want to have joy, if we want to make sure that our life runs smooth, we have got to submit to the lordship. We've got to get on the ship. We've got to abide in the ship. And we cannot jump ship. And we cannot jump overboard. Or we can't do any of those things or commit insubordination on the ship or mutiny on the bounty of the ship even. Amen. There are no Captain Ahabs that should be on the board as Christians. Amen. And having mutiny on the bounty. And so when you look at lordship, that's what it's talking about here. But let me tell you this. Sometimes it seems like we don't want a Lord. Somebody say amen. Amen. We want to do what we want to do. And when it goes against what we want to do or don't want to do, we buck against God's lordship. Everybody needs to say amen, because you know it's true. When God wants you to do something and you don't want to do it, amen, you just don't want to do it. And guess what? You have just embarked upon and bought a ticket aboard the
mutiny on the bounty, the disobedient ship. We're going to look at how you can respond to Christ's lordship disobediently and angrily. Let me give you this about Jonah. Jonah did not want to do what God asked him to do. He had his reasons for not wanting to warn Nineveh. He feared what the outcome might bring. Have you ever feared to do what God asked you to do because of the fear of what the outcome was going to be? Amen. I have. By the way, I've ridden aboard this ship one time too many. The Ninevites were cruel and violent, and in Jonah's mind, didn't deserve to be saved, but annihilated on the other hand. And if he warned them, they might actually repent and be spared. Have you ever not witnessed to somebody or maybe not wanted to talk to somebody about Jesus because you feared they would get saved and you really didn't want them saved? For many different reasons. Let me just list a few. Maybe you didn't want them as a part of your church for fear of what they knew about you. And if they came into the church, they may tell everybody else all your dirt. Perhaps you just didn't want their kind in your church. Maybe you just didn't want them as a part of your newfound fellowship. They might mess things up for you. They might steal all the attention. Perhaps you didn't think they deserved to be saved after all they did to you and others that you know. The emotions run deep, I'm sure, and the reasons are probably varied and complex. I know when I first was told that I was coming to Tucson, I didn't want to come. Say, preacher, why didn't you want to come? I knew I was going to see some people that I really didn't want to see. And I knew in my heart God had given me a command to talk to them, and I really didn't want to talk to them. So I'm thinking in my mind, Lord, send me someplace where I don't know somebody, someone that doesn't know my past, someone that doesn't know my history, someone that doesn't know me. And he brought me to Tucson, to people that know me. By the way, on our anniversary Sunday, many of the people that came knew me before I got saved. They knew the old Dawson. And they still came. They still came. When I first got orders, I thought, Lord, if I go to this place, this person is going to be there, and this person, and I know I'm supposed to tell them about you, and I don't want to. I really don't want to. Matter of fact, I don't really like them. Nonetheless, God sent me this place. I remember Pastor White, there was one person in particular I didn't want to go talk to. I asked Pastor Nelson, I said, Pastor Nelson, can I talk to you? I said, I know that I'm supposed to witness, but there's somebody that I really don't want to witness to. And I said, I know I'm going to see him. I had access to all the records on the base. And so I knew they were there, and I checked to see if they were there, and I said, they're here. And I don't want to see them. I said, I don't want to see them. I said, perhaps there's a way that I won't run into them. I said, Pastor Nelson, when I see this person, if I see this person, I said, what should I do? I said, I don't want to invite them to my church. I don't want to witness to them. I really don't want to see them. Pastor Nelson said, you got to give them the gospel. You have a command. I said, but I don't want them in my church. You have a command. And guess who I saw, Pastor White? That person that I really didn't want to witness to. That I really didn't want to see saved. That I really didn't want in my church. That I really didn't want to have anything to do with, period. Say, preacher, why? I hurt. I hurt in my heart. And I didn't want him anywhere close to me. I didn't want them anywhere close to me. I didn't want anyone like them close to me. And I hurt. And I can see it just like it was yesterday, Pastor, what I saw the individual. And I went right up to them. And they were afraid because they thought that I was going to hurt them. And I told them that I was saved. I said, you know what? I'm born again. I said, and God saved me and he loves me. I said, I just want to share with you what God did for me. And I gave him the gospel. I gave him a track. I said, preacher, did he come to the church? No, he didn't come to church. Did he get saved? I don't know if he got saved or not. Ironically, Pastor White, I never saw him since that day. Never saw him since that day. He said, "Preacher, what happened?" "I was with Jonah. There was somebody that I didn't want to see saved. Me, a child of God. Me, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Me, born again. Me, saved and on my way to heaven. Didn't want somebody else to have what I had. How dare I be aboard that ship? How dare I be disobedient to God? How dare I? Who am I?" Man with a big attitude. Man with a big hurt. Well, that kind of gives you a synopsis of where Jonah is at. The Ninevites were cruel people. The Ninevites were known for torturing other nations, and they were known for warring against Israel. If you read the account of the Assyrians, and Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, they were some mean people. They were cruel people. And Jonah gets this idea that if I don't tell them, God will destroy them and they'll get what's coming to them. While Isaiah exhibited a sound mind to the lordship of Christ, and Isaiah willingly and voluntarily said, "Here am I, send me." Peter, we saw last week, exhibited a stagnant mind to the lordship of Christ and religiously and ignorantly said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never." But now we find Jonah. Jonah's got a stubborn mind to the lordship of Christ and disobediently and angrily rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Have you been there before? I have. I have. God had to bring me face to face with someone that I didn't really want to see. God had to do it because he knew I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to go to them. And so God said, "If you won't go to them, I will bring them to you. And then what will you do?" And I had to confess, like Jonah, I really didn't want to see what God was going to do. What could possibly make someone want to flee from the presence of the Lord? And to think that they could get away with it. Notice, first of all, how Jonah went disobediently away from God's will. Jonah responded to God's lordship disobediently. Notice, Jonah heard the word. Notice verse number 1 again. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai." So Jonah heard the word, but intentionally disobeyed and went another way. Disobedient means to not do what someone with authority tells you to do. It means refusing or failing or neglecting to obey rules or laws that are given to you. That's disobedient. We've all been there before. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he who saves us, can we possibly be disobedient to God? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. When we know what God says and we don't do it, we have disobeyed in the lordship, and we actually think we're in the headship, preacher. We actually think we're in the leadership. "I guess I told God. I'm in the headship. I'm in the leadship. I got it going on." And we don't understand, just like Jonah, we're in the sinking ship. It's going down. It's like the Titanic. It's going to hit the iceberg. It's going down. It's already written down. We're in the sinking ship. Notice verse number 1, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying," verse 2, "arise, go to Nineveh and cry against it." So the word was realized, Jonah heard. Henry Blackaby, in his devotion, Experiencing God Day by Day, says this: when God says go, you need permission to stay. Amen. When God says go, you need permission to stay. I needed permission not to do what God called me to do, but God said, "No, I want you to go. I want you to do it. You had no permission to stay. I stayed and God brought them to me." That's just how God works. You don't want to do something, he'll put you in a situation where you have no choice but to do it. The word was realized, Jonah heard. But when the word was realized, Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. So in other words, the word was not only just heard, the word was rejected and he fled. So he realized it, then he rejected it. Let me ask you the question. Notice verse number 3. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Where can you possibly go from the presence of the Lord? It says Jonah went down to Joppa. Anytime you try to flee from God, you're going down. I don't care what is going on. When you run from God, you're going down. Why? God loves you and God knows what's best for you. He went down, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went where? Down into it. To go with them unto Tarshish, from where? The presence of the Lord. Where can you and I possibly go to flee from the presence of the Lord? The psalmist tried to answer that question. Go to Psalm 139. Go back to Psalm 139 with me. Psalm 139. And in Psalm 139, the psalmist tries to do his dead level best of talking about where can you go to get away from God. You said, I can go in sin to get away from God. No, you can't. Psalm 139, notice what he says in verse number 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He said, you know everything about my thought process. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. He said, you know everything in my way. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. He said, you know what I'm thinking, what I'm speaking. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain. He said, I can't fathom that, God, you know everything about my thoughts and my mind, what I'm saying. Verse 7, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? What did he say? Jonah said, I'm going away from the presence of the Lord. The psalmist asked the same question. The psalmist said, where can I go to get away from the presence of the Lord? Where can I go? The psalmist said, where shall I flee? Eight, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night should be light about me. He said, I try to hide out in the darkness. By the way, the things that you do in the dark, God sees. You talk about infrared vision. God doesn't need infrared vision. He knows what you're doing in the dark. Amen. When are most sins committed? In the dark. So, yea, the darkness, verse 12, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Amen. The light is just like the dark to God. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He said, you knew me before I was even born. When there was nothing there, you knew me. Glory to God, God is good. When there's nothing there, I know you're there. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, notice this, I am still with thee. The psalmist said, how precious are thy thoughts unto me. In other words, Jonah, Christian, I only want to do good things for you. Why are you trying to hide from me? Why are you trying to go from my presence? I'm only trying to do good for you. My thoughts are good towards you. But Jonah doesn't like what God's about to do. So where can a person flee from the presence of the Lord? Nowhere. Nowhere. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 69, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Proverbs 5:21, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Where can we go to get away from the Lord's presence? Nowhere! God is everywhere. So Jonah, if you get on this ship to go away from the Lord's will, if you're trying to jump ship and try to get on another ship, guess what, Jonah? You're not going from my presence. Christian, you're not going away from his presence. He is everywhere. He sees all. He knows all. You're fighting a losing battle. You might as well just abide in the ship. Might as well just abide in the ship. God has a way of fulfilling his will through you. I found out that whether you go or not, he can bring people to you. Amen. So the word was realized, Jonah heard. The word was rejected, Jonah fled and went down. So we see we can respond disobediently in the lordship. But then secondly, Jonah reacted angrily when God spared Nineveh. He responded angrily. Come down to me with me to chapter number 3. Because this time the word was not only realized, the word was received instead of rejected. Chapter 3, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, rise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Same basic command. I told you to go in chapter 1. I'm telling you to go in chapter 3. Now, by the way, in the interim, when Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord, amazingly, a storm came. And the storm rocked the ship back and forth. And all the mariners on the ship were afraid. And Jonah had the nerve to be in the belly sleep of the ship. And they woke him up. They said, wake up, man. Call on your God. And Jonah said, you know what? You're in this because of me. I'm fleeing from God. I'm trying to run from his presence. And they went back and tried to call on their gods. And they said, you need to call on God. And Jonah said, no, just toss me overboard and be okay. Jonah would rather commit suicide than to go and do what God told him to do. He'd rather kill himself than to go talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Glory, how bad off can we get? Oh, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. I don't, but God does. Preacher, you don't know what they said about me. I don't, but God does. Oh, preacher, you don't know how bad they hurt me. I don't, but God does. And I'm not minimizing your hurt. I'm maximizing the lordship of God. He knows what he's doing. The word was received this time. Jonah acknowledged it. Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. The word was received this time. The word was responded to obediently. He not only acknowledged it, he acted on it. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Nineveh was a great city of 3 days' journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said that 40 days and Nineveh should be overthrown. The word was received. He acknowledged it. The word was responded to obediently this time. He acted on it. And the Ninevites responded to it obediently. Notice verse number 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. The Ninevites said, oh, wait a minute. You mean tell me judgment's coming? God's going to destroy us if we don't get right with God? Oh, we need to get right with God. From the king on down to the lowest peasant, they got right with God. Guess what? It's happening just like Jonah feared. If they're spared, they're going to come back after us again. You might be thinking, if I talk to them, if I warn them, they might get saved and they might get right with God. And they might come back and do the same thing they did before. That father may abuse me again. That mother may beat me again. That brother or sister may abuse me again. Or may talk about my name. That teacher may do this to me again. If I warn them, this is what they may do. They may come do the same thing, and I don't want that. Amen. Exactly what Jonah feared has happened. They responded. So the Ninevites responded obediently. What is verse number 9? They said, who can tell if God will turn, repent, and turn away from his fierce anger? That we perish not. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil. And he had said he would do it to them, and he did not. So the word was received this time. Jonah acknowledged it. The word was responded to obediently. He acted on it. The Ninevites responded obediently. They acted on it. But then Jonah then responds angrily. He was angered. Notice verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah. Not did it just displease Jonah. It displeased Jonah exceedingly. It went beyond just being upset. It went to obsession. I cannot believe you did this. I cannot believe you did this, God. He was displeased exceedingly. It exceeded. It went way past. It went way beyond just being upset and angry. I know these people. I know what they do. I know their cruelty. I know that mom. I know that dad. I know that brother. I know that sister. I know that friend. I know that man. I know that perpetrator. I know that boss. I know that friend. I know what they did. God, you don't have a clue what they did to me. You don't have a clue what they did to me. You don't have a clue what they did to my family. You don't have a clue, God. You don't know. You don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't save them. You would not even think about saving them. Jonah is exceedingly angry. It said it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, you got to give Jonah some credit here. This is the book of Jonah. Jonah had to write his own biography. And by the Spirit of God, he didn't leave anything out. But Jonah's letting you and I know exactly how he feels about this. I don't like this. Know what Jonah's saying? You're going to be there one day too, Christian. God's going to tell you to go to somebody, you're not going to go. God's going to tell you to do something, you're not going to do it. God's going to have something planned for you, and the outcome you're not going to agree with. I didn't agree with my outcome. If I had my way, preacher, I would never came to Tucson to start this church. Send me someplace else. I don't want to see these people. But God said, what better to show them than a life that's been redeemed and changed by the power of God? What better to show them than someone that's trusted Christ? You cannot go to them with an angry spirit, with a disobedient spirit, with my power. You've got to be real and you've got to be right. Did I go? Yes, I went. After God brought them to me. And as the person approached, and as I approached the person, God did something strange. He changed my heart. And I began to see not the person, but I began to see how much I had offended God. I began to see how I had done God wrong. And it was no longer about the person. It was more about me and my sin. It was more about how I offended God. I was disobedient. I was trying to buck the Lordship. I was angry. And God did something amazing. He showed me as I went to them. And I said, Lord, I'm so unworthy. I didn't want to do this. And now you're showing me. And God just began to tell me, that's how much I love you. That's how much I love them. And I want to love them the same way I loved you in spite of yourself. I want to love them the same way I loved you. The same way I sent someone to you, I want to send someone to them. And they might turn, they might not turn, but that's none of your business. What's your business is me. And as Jonah goes up here and responds angrily, some things begin to happen. So Jonah responded disobediently to the Lordship. Then he responded angrily. Angrily means to provoke, to provoke or enrage. To become exasperated, having a strong feeling of being upset or annoyed. Jonah got angry with God after obeying the word of the Lord when he did what God did. And when he saw God forgive and extend mercy to Nineveh. Notice what it says down there again, verse number 2. Says down there, chapter number 3, I'm sorry, verse 2. Or verse number 3. No, I'm lost now. Chapter 4, I'm sorry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Jonah said, is this what I told you? He was angry because he knew that God was a God of mercy and a God of love. And the Ninevites were cruel. They were a people known for warring with Israel and torturing them. And he reminds them, Lord, did not I tell you this is what you would do? Jonah's thought was, why couldn't he just wipe them out? That's why I didn't want to go in the first place. Ever been there before? God blesses someone that you feel should be cursed. I remember in the military one time, preacher, he had below the zone. Me and another guy went up for below the zone, and we were tied. And they said, well, who do we give the strike to? They said, this is what we'll do. We'll give you guys a grace period. Whoever messes up first won't get the strike. Well, the guy that I tied with went and did something. He worked down with all the equipment that people touch every day. He went down and sprinkled itching powder over all the equipment. And the whole section was contaminated with itching powder in the section. I sat back in my office, preacher. It's a shoe-in. Here comes a strike. He just messed up. He just messed up. I got me a strike coming. He had to go and talk to the senior master sergeant in charge. Now, for the record, the senior master sergeant was a softy. He's known for being lenient on people. But when you contaminate a whole section, there is no leniency. When the work is at a stoppage, there is no leniency here. And when I found out that he went to go senior master sergeant, I'm like, pick out my stripe. I'm sewing it on, brother. Here we go. Honey, we're going out to Red Lobster. He came out of the senior master sergeant's office, and my office was right next to him, and he had kind of a solemn look on his face. I said, yes. And you know what happened? The senior master sergeant let him off the hook. And he got the stripe. And I didn't. And you talk about somebody furious. You talk about somebody angry. He put itching powder on everything. The whole section came to a stop. They couldn't work. They had to clean all the equipment. And he gets off when you said the first one that messes up in the next 6 months loses the stripe, and you forgive him and give him the stripe and don't give it to me. I was a little, how do you say, what was Jonah there? It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I would say it displeased Greg exceedingly, and he was very angry. And Greg said something like this: I pray thee, senior master sergeant, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Was this, you're going to forgive him? I told you, you cannot be lenient to everybody. You got to let the hammer fly sometime, especially when it comes to me. Amen. I wanted it my way. I wanted it my way. The senior master sergeant represented God. The itching powder man represented the Ninevites. I represented Jonah. I was angry. Did I get the stripe? No. What did I get? Nothing. I had to earn it the old-fashioned way, preacher. Had to wait my time. Well, Jonah, verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? Jonah, Spurgeon says this: a question which we may reprovingly ask ourselves, if we are soon angry, and we are often angry, and we're long angry, and we're bitterly angry at the will of God, do we dare question the fairness of God when it comes to obeying him as Lord? Let me read that again. A question we must reprovingly ask ourselves, if we are soon angry, often angry, long angrily, or bitterly angry at the will of God, do we dare question the fairness of God when it comes to obeying him as Lord? In other words, can we question God? Job had the same problem. And Job said, it's unfair. God said, do you presume to question why I do what I do? Jonah continues his dialogue down through verses 5 through 9. God blesses with a gourd growing up there, and God takes away the gourd, and he's glad of the gourd at first in verse number 6 as he's trying to see if God would destroy the city. Notice what it says down there in verse number 6. Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But the gourd, God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and he smote the gourd that it withered. Came to pass when the sun did rise, God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. Guess since the town didn't get destroyed and I couldn't get drowned in the sea, might as well just die of the heat. Verse 9, and God said to Jonah, Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. By the way, those are the last words you hear from Jonah. God asked him over there in verse number 4, do you do well to be angry? Then he asked him again in verse number 9, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And when you look at this, it seems that it appears God left Jonah angry and bewildered. And Jonah can't understand why God does what he does, even though he knows God's character as described in verse number 2. Verse number 2 said, I knew thee. I knew thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and a great kindness, repentance of the evil. See, it always works when it's for us, but what about when it's somebody else? See, we want God's mercy. We want God's love. We want all that. But then when God says, okay, they're evil, they're just as evil as you, how about doing that? And see, we measure ourselves by ourselves. The Bible says we're not wise. God says, I'm measuring on a different standard. We're all sinners. We all have failed. We all have come short. And if I choose to love someone because I am love, what is that to you? Jonah doesn't like it. it appears that Jonah's last words are anger and frustration and bewilderment. Jonah exhibited a stubborn mind to the lordship of Christ. He rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. He knew what he should do, but he didn't want to do it. Ever been there before? I have. Angry and disobedient before my Lord. And so whilst Isaiah exhibits a sound mind, and he willingly and voluntarily obeys and says, "Hear my, send me." Peter had a stagnant mind, and he religiously and ignorantly said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never." At least he could be worked with. Jonah knew better. He knew what he was doing and exhibited a stubborn mind to the lordship of Christ. He disobediently and angrily rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Did he have his reasons? Yes, he did. Were they valid reasons before God? No, they weren't. When God says go, we go. Period. I don't know about you, but what could possibly make us want to flee from the presence of the Lord? What could possibly make us want to flee from the presence of the Lord? Is it to reach someone that we think is unreachable? Is it to have God bless someone that is, in our minds, unblessable? Is it when God makes a decision to do something that we ourselves wouldn't do? Jonah's left here angry. I don't know about you, I've been left angry before. But I'm so glad that God loves me. And that same God that you see down in verse 2, "I knew thee that thou art a gracious God, merciful God, slow to anger, and of great kindness, repentest thee of the evil," is the same God that Jonah cried to. Notice chapter 2 and verse number 1, verse number 9. "But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed, salvation of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." See, that's the same God that Jonah cried unto when he was in the belly of the whale. The same God that loved Jonah loved Nineveh. You know, there's somebody out there that God wants to love through you. And you might think they're unlovely. You might think that they're unworthy. But you have to turn that finger back and look that there's three more pointing back at you. And the same love that God had for Jonah, God had for Nineveh. Now, were they cruel? Yes, they were. Were they enemies? Yes, they were. Were they bad? Yes, they were. But the Bible says, "And such were some of you. But you are clean, but you are washed." You know, once God got me to that point where I said, "You know, Lord, this is not so much about them. This is about me. I'm disobedient in the lordship. This is about me. I'm angry in the lordship." And I couldn't have peace. And one by one, preacher, God began to bring those people that I didn't want to see. One after another. And some actually still like me. You know why? God's good. God's a God of love. God's a God of mercy. God's a God of grace. And I'm so glad God is a God of second chances. It said that the word came to Jonah the second time, chapter 3, verse 1. God said, "Let me give you one more try at this." And by the way, Jonah still left angry. But God worked in his life. I'm so glad that God loves me and he gave me another chance. The question remains for Jonah and us. How are you and I responding in the lordship? I've been honest with you. I've been disobedient before. I've been honest with you. I've been angry before as a saved child of God. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to talk to some people because I didn't want them to have what I had because I didn't like what they did. And God had to deal with my heart and say, "Look, did I not love you? Did I not save you? Did I not deal with you? What makes them any different than you? But God, you don't understand. They did that to me." And God says, "But look at what you all did to me. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'll save them just as easy as I saved you. But somebody's got to warn them. Don't be disobedient in lordship. And don't be angry. Preacher, you just don't know what they did. I'm glad I don't, but God knows. God knows. And the same God that we read about in Psalm 139, where can I go from the presence of the Lord? He's there. He's there. And God wants to take away your pain today. He wants to take away your anger today. He wants to take away a disobedient spirit today. And he wants your sail and the Lordship to be smooth. I'm so glad that he adjusted my course by adjusting my heart and by dealing with me. Have we hit some rough seas like Jonah, disobediently and angrily sailing along? Or like Peter, responding religiously or ignorantly while sailing along? The best way is like Isaiah, respond willingly and voluntarily. How's your sailing in the Lordship today? Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and looking around. One of the first things that you must realize in Lordship is you must be saved. It's appointed unto men once to die, but then the judgment, the Bible says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Paul said, for I declare unto you the gospel. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved today, you're not in the Lordship. You're back in the second ship, the perplexity in the Lordship. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of God, the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Let me ask you today, heads are bowed and eyes are closed and looking around. If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Or is there a doubt in your mind? If there's a doubt in your mind and you're not sure that heaven is your home, I want to pray for you today. Right where you're sitting, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just raise your hand. Say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I want to know, and I want to be sure, but I'm not sure, not convinced. I want to pray for you. Why don't you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Put it up, and I'll acknowledge it, and you can put it right back down. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned about it, though. I'm not sure. Well, second of all, how many would say, preacher, I've been disobedient before in the Lordship. Been angry in the Lordship, and I know that's not right. Pray that whatever this hindrance is, I can get it right with God. And you might want to raise your hand. I've been disobedient in Lordship, been angry in Lordship. I haven't liked everything God's done. Amen. I see one hand, you may put it down as another. Amen. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. Folks, if you're like me, you've got people in your life that you don't like what they did to you. But God loves them. And he wants to love them through you. You may put them down. You know, during the invitation, why don't you do like Jonah did, cry unto the Lord. Why don't you do like the Ninevites did? Cry unto the Lord. Say, Lord, forgive me of my disobedience and Lordship. Forgive me for my anger in this ship. I don't like what was done to me. And I don't understand it. But one thing I do understand is your love for me and your love for them. And Lord, fix my heart, cleanse my heart, clean my heart, deal with my heart, that I can be obediently sailing and the Lordship. Father, bless now these next moments in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. G2's playing the music. If God's spoken to you, why don't you come? Hey, I've exposed myself and let you know how I was. I've been disobedient. The preacher's been disobedient, angry. In the Lordship, perhaps you have been too. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar? Ask God to deal with your pain. Ask him to deal with your heart. Ask him to forgive you for the disobedient spirit. I know I had to. The angry spirit, I had to. Did I like what was done to me? No, I didn't. No more than you like what was done to you. But I do know this, God wants to use you and I in the Lordship. But if we're disobedient and angrily sailing aboard the ship, he cannot use us the way he wants to. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar, give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah prayed. He prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He was afflicted, and he cried to the Lord. Maybe you need to do the same thing today. Lord, help me to let go of that anger. Lord, help me to let go of that disobedient spirit. Help me to let go of that which I have against that person. Lord, when you call me in the Lordship, I don't want to become missing in action. I don't want to flee from your presence. Lord, I want to come to you. And I want to go for you. It could be God may bring that person to you. What are you going to do? Will you give them the gospel? God said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it. 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. The people believed. How about in your own life? Are you sure heaven is your home? If you're not, why don't you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin today and save you today? He said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. With the mouth, confession is made unto the Lord. I must confess him as my Lord, confess him as my Savior. Believe that he died for me, believe that he rose again after being buried 3 days, 3 nights. Jonah, Isaiah, Peter, all three pictures of people that knew God and responded three different ways to his Lordship. Willingly and voluntarily, religiously and angrily, or religiously and ignorantly, then disobediently and angrily. You and I may sail in all three of these ships at some point in our Christian life. The goal is not to stay there. The goal is to beseech God in heaven to work in and through our hearts and our lives, and have his healing hand of mercy upon our lives. Perhaps you're here today and you say, preacher, I need to be baptized. Why don't you come? Let us tell you what you need to do to be baptized. Take that first step of obedience. I'm already saved, preacher, but I need to be baptized. Maybe you need to come and surrender for baptism. Perhaps you've been saved and already scripturally baptized. Maybe you need to join this church and surrender to church membership and abide in that ship. Perhaps you're here today and say, preacher, you know, I need to be in a special area of service for God's will. Well, you know, until you're saved and baptized and good standings in the local church, God's probably not going to call you to a service or a position. Let God have his will in his way. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Lord, thank you for calling me out when you told me to rise and go to Tucson, to a place that I didn't necessarily want to go, to a people I didn't necessarily want to see. Lord, I was disobediently sailing in that ship, the Lord's ship. Lord, I was a bit angry in that ship. But I'm so glad you touched my heart and you changed my heart. You gave me the heart of God to be concerned about people and to try to reach people and to tell them about the Christ who loved me. And I'm so glad you loved me just as much as you love them. Lord, help us to leave here with a renewed vision of your Lordship over our lives. We can sail in it willingly and voluntarily, religiously and ignorantly. We can sail in it disobediently and angrily. Oh, Lord, some of those ways are not good ways. But I'm so glad that you love us despite ourselves. Help us now, Lord, as we leave here today, to focus on those that you tell us to go to and realize we're just like them. We're no different. A sinner's a sinner. Just different shapes, different forms, different behaviors, but all sinners that need to be saved by the grace of God. Lord, help us not to be partial in who we talk to, but to realize you love each and every one of us the same. We thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, dismiss us now with your blessings. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.